a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the RSL show. This is Andy Munoz. I'm joined today by Joshua Clark. What's up, Josh?
What's up, everybody?
Josh has COVID, so we had to cancel on El Show Real. Those guys, they weren't upset, but I could tell they were a little bummed. We're going to reschedule. We're going to do an episode with them. And apparently, Cheeky really, really wants to come on to the RSL show. So we have to coordinate around his schedule to make that happen. How do you feel about that, Josh?
If Cheeky's going to be there, I might have COVID forever.
Yeah, no.
Just kidding, Cheeky.
Yeah, no, Cheeky's a good dude. The guys at El Show Real do a really good job. But like I mentioned, we had to cancel because Josh contracted COVID for the first time since the pandemic. And you look great. I could see you on video. You look good.
Yeah, I just have like a fever and body aches. Other than that, I'm fine.
How's your appetite?
I'm still a fat kid.
Yeah. Well, dude, when I had COVID, I dropped like 30 pounds in 2 weeks.
Oh, I wish, dude. I wish I was losing weight and like lost my taste buds. I would be so pumped on those.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Well, no. It when I had it, it was pretty crazy, but yeah, anyways, the weight's all back, so it was all for nothing. Okay, let's talk about Real Salt Lake. You know my feelings towards the last match, Josh. I feel like I was pretty vocal in the text group, but also kind of vocal on Twitter from my personal account. Barely skirting by with a win. I'm not impressed. I'm really happy for Brody. Brody, great guy, good dude. Before becoming a professional, and getting older and seeing all of his friends go on to make the RSL roster, the dude had to make a decision, and even at one point doing Uber on the side, which is crazy to me when you're a, you know, not quite a professional athlete, but you're kind of on that route to maybe have to feel like you have to go and, you know, do Ubers. So anyways, you know, developing, working hard, seeing his teammates, yeah, his friends, get professional contracts. He finally gets one with RSL, has been putting in the work. We've said it many times on this podcast, how we feel about Brody. There's been negative moments. There's been positive moments. And I'm really happy for him getting the second goal and, you know, seeing his reaction and seeing that whole, you know, process of scoring a goal and everything coming together and feeling like you're accomplished, which, you know, he is. I'm not taking anything away from that. But what a crappy way to win. I'm just not happy with the product that I'm seeing on the field, and maybe I'm being too critical. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm definitely frustrated a little bit as an RSL fan. And it's weird to be frustrated because our record is okay. So anyways, that's my rant. Josh, I'll let you kind of take over, and you tell me, is it warranted to feel this way? Not being happy that we go 2-1 with a goal off of a defender and not seeing, you know, more from our attackers.
Well, I was going to ask, is your frustration more with the lack of attack or with it took us a red card and some lucky moments to score two goals?
It's all of the above. It's the lack of attack. It's the fact that Austin FC goes down a man and we are getting lucky. It's, you know, my frustration set in the first half when we see maybe Bobby Wood involved with three plays and nothing comes from those three plays. If anything, like, you know, we have perfect video of it, right? He plays a short ball to Michael Chang and it's just a heavy touch and it just rolls out of bounds. It's little things like that that are just kind of building up where I am not confident that Real Salt Lake can go up against a tougher opponent and pull a result. And it was really lucky versus Austin FC. Austin FC went on to beat LAFC in Bank of California.
And are number one in the West. So
yeah,
they're probably the toughest opponent at the moment.
I don't know. I'm not celebrating this win. And I hate to be that contrary person because I like to celebrate the club and I like to celebrate the wins and I like to root for the underdogs. So I'm just conflicted, man. I don't know why I'm feeling this way. But it's been tough. It was really tough to watch that match. In fact, I left after the first half, and I'm glad that things rolled out the way that they did. But when I left at the half, I was frustrated. And then just to clarify, guys, I was working, and I had the option to stay till, you know, the entire match. But after not seeing any creativity and, you know, the lack of attack, like you said earlier, it was just tough to stick around.
Yeah, I get that. And I see where you're coming from. We obviously, you know, are playing a very boring style, it seems. And I don't think it's intended to be that way. I think it's just kind of a happenstance of the circumstances, you know, the injuries, blah, blah, blah. All of those things that, you know, we've heard over and over again since preseason, really. And I do think those will change. I think the biggest thing right now is, you know, we really missed Amir. That's a huge one. And a playmaker to connect the defense and, you know, Caldwell, Everton to the rest of the attack is an absolute must this summer. I know we were all fine with Albert leaving, and I still am. I'm not going back on that. But not having someone to kind of fill his role at the moment hasn't hurt us yet, but it's going to, because like you said, we have been getting lucky. And I would agree, like against most teams, if we go down a goal, I don't have a lot of faith in us coming back because I don't see us as like a potent attacking team, so to speak, right? Like you can play defense all day long and go for shutouts and 1-0 wins. But if you go down by a goal and that's like you're doomed because you went down a goal, your defense didn't work out for one time. Like that's not a way to ride a season. Makes for a long year.
So help me understand, if I could have a more positive outlook on this match, and I think there's, you know, for as much of frustration that I'm feeling, there's got to be positives to kind of, you know, counteract that way, right? That's always just my thinking. Like, it could be worse, right? It could have been a lot worse against Austin FC. It's a 2-1 result, 3 points at home. So prior to the first half, though, Cordova had a really good shot. You put it on frame, goalkeeper barely just gets his little fingers on it. He's got like the spine gloves, you could tell, because the ball just takes a deflection.
I enjoy the fact that our defenders are taking just as many opportunities as our attackers. What worries me is that the defenders' conversion rate is much higher than the attackers, right? Basically, our attackers aren't finishing, and that's where I'm stressed, right? Like, I think we're getting in the right positions when we do get in the attack most of the time, but there's just something misfiring that hasn't, like, clicked. And I hope it clicks soon, because, like, I'm not totally down like you are, right? Like, yeah, Bobby didn't finish this game, but he still created chances and got himself in a lot of good positions. So I think once, you know, he can figure out how to score again and find some form, we'll be fine. Like, just a little blip, I'm really hoping. And honestly, once Demir comes back or we get, you know, a true attacking midfielder, a lot of these questions will go away. And hell, maybe Blitzer and Smith bring in, you know, a big name striker and a lot of problems are solved, but I'm not going to get my hopes up yet. I still got a lot of Deloy energy around, so I believe it when I see it.
So, you know, just a few things that are highlighted here. So, you know, Real Salt Lake's key weakness is finishing scoring chances.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen a lot of those. Primarily what we've seen a lot from fans online of Real Salt Lake, there's one common name that seems to pop up. And without me mentioning it, Josh, like, who do you think I'm talking about?
Like, for the slander?
I would say, yeah, mostly slander.
Bobby Wood.
Exactly. It's exactly who I was thinking, who comes to mind. You know, there's no doubts that he works hard and that he puts in the work and the training is there. But what do you think is just isn't clicking for him?
Who knows, man. But I don't think it's just Bobby. I think the not clicking is our entire attacking line, right? Like, Miram hasn't really found the back of the net that often. I mean, Wood has more goals than Miram, right? Cordova is not firing. Rubin's barely playing. And when he's on the field, he's not much more dangerous, right? So it's something going on with the attack in general. And I don't want to just harp on Bobby Wood because I think it's a much bigger problem than just Bobby Wood not finishing.
So looking at trends of the, let's just go like the past six matches. Real Salt Lake, and let's just look at the score lines. You know, back on March 12th, we beat New England 3-2. New England, you know, Supporter Shield winners from last season, I want to say. Was that last season?
Yeah, it sounds right.
Yep.
It feels like a long time ago.
We beat Nashville SC 2-1. Nashville right now is on a tear, I think. They've got a really good record. Without looking at it, I know that they're one of the best teams in the league right now.
And yeah,
especially. Especially at Geodis Park.
Like right, which they just beat us there, so they're doing well. Yeah,
exactly. So 2-1, let's see. We lose to Sporting KC 1-0. Tie with Colorado 1-1. Real Salt Lake Toronto 2-2 draw. And then New York City 6-0, dude. Just got wailed on, if you remember that. We lose to Hailstorm 1-0. And then we go full-time 0-0 up against Portland, which Portland just put, what, seven
Kansas goals? City.
Yeah, seven goals on Kansas City.
Kansas City looks awful, by the way.
Yeah, they're bad. So bad. I'm so happy about that.
Me too.
And then Chicharito comes to Rio Tinto. He is shut down, and it's 1-0, right?
Right.
And then Nashville SC, Real Salt Lake, we go away. You kind of called that one, 2-0. We lose there, which right now Nashville SC, Geodis Park, it's a fortress. Real Salt Lake, we come home, Austin FC 2-1. So what I'm just kind of seeing here, if I'm looking at it from a positive perspective, against some of the best teams in the league, going back to, you know, from what New England did last year, Nashville, who was a crazy contender for, I think, even for Supporter Shield right now. And then Portland, just, you know, I think, you know, Portland is one of those, I mean, we can call them a rival. I think they're a legitimate rival.
Absolutely.
If I have to look positive on this, on the last six matches, we're doing pretty well. Exclude the New York City FC. I think that was just, man. I don't even know what that was. If we wanted to blame the baseball field, we have a whole episode out on it. You know, I think we've got a decent chance to kind of continue with the same results and then obviously contend for, I know we're way ahead here, but I can see this team making the playoffs, obviously.
Yeah, especially if, you know, some bigger summer signings come in to help us out, right?
Yeah.
We have the base for this squad, right? We look good at times and we look really bad at times. And I think, you know, we just really need those two, three pieces to come in and just change the entire look of this squad and we'll be totally fine.
Yeah. So let's look ahead on the schedule here. So we've got Montreal
on
Sunday, May 22nd away.
It's a loss.
You think so?
Montreal's a good team this year, bud.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got Real Salt Lake versus Houston Dynamo.
That's a W, I hope.
That always just feels like it could go anyway. With Houston Dynamo and FC Dallas, I just feel like those two teams, they just blend together for me.
True.
And it's just like, wait, didn't we just play these guys? And it's like, no, it's like that was FC Dallas, or hey, that FC Dallas, it was Houston, whatever. That could go any which way. And then we do have Vancouver.
Should also be a win. Is that home though?
Yep, it looks like it's home.
Yeah, 100% should be a win.
We go away and we go play San Jose on the 18th of June.
Winnable game.
Very winnable game.
San Jose they are in form since they fired their coach, though, but still a winnable game.
Yep. And then we go to Columbus.
Also winnable. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Columbus is bad. They're bad.
And then we got Minnesota at Real Salt Lake July 3rd. And then we've got RSL away at Colorado. Ooh. And if we want to look a little more ahead, we've got Atlanta United at RSL and then RSL at Sporting KC.
So basically the next 2 months are all very winnable matches.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's kind of what, you know, looking back, like I said, looking back at those matches and then what's on the schedule ahead, it looks pretty promising for Real Salt Lake. And I will give credit, you know, is it frustrating to kind of have that perspective or that, I'm trying to think the word for it.
The
perception,
outlook.
The perception. Yeah. It's frustrating to have the perception of, hey, our attackers aren't doing anything. We're relying on defenders. We're relying on getting lucky. Not so relying on red cards. But, you got to give credit where credit is due. The squad, the team, they've been doing it. I mean, right now, sitting with our record, let's just look. I know there was a handful of Wednesday matches that just took the standings and maybe may have manipulated them a little bit. Yeah, it's about 12 games played, so we're all pretty even. Let's just break down the top five. So you've got Austin FC with 23 points. They've got 7 wins, 3 losses, 2 draws. So to be, you know, one loss or to contribute one loss to the 3, especially from Real Salt Lake and you know, our situation now, it's actually pretty damn good.
Right. I mean, within 4 points of first place.
Yeah.
Right? So now your outlook's feeling a little different, isn't it?
A little bit. A little bit, yeah. So second is LAFC, and LAFC and Austin FC, by the way, same records. They're just tied. I think right now it's just goal differential is putting Austin ahead by 3 goals. We got Dallas FC sitting in third. LA Galaxy sitting in fourth. Hey. I don't know why, but I just kind of root for LA Galaxy.
You love Chicha, man. It's fine.
No, it's not even that. Like, after LAFC kind of coming into the club and then just kind of seeing, like, how much love is given to LAFC after Los Angeles had a team for, I mean, literally since the beginning.
Right, and all the cups they've had and the legends and the...
Yeah, it's like, it's... Imagine, you know, if you're frustrated as a Real Salt Lake fan, imagine being an LA Galaxy fan and then... A bigger club. So it'd be like RSL, right? It'd be like us. And we are kind of this way. You know, we look back at the 2015 team and, you know, all these legends that were, you know, on the roster at that time and, you know, fresh off of championships. And we come forward and we're not doing as well. But imagine if another club in Salt Lake City came down and just like set up and then just got all of the hype.
Yeah, SLC FC comes into town and plays downtown and suddenly they're the cool ones.
Yeah, and like, yeah exactly. You know,
all the celebrities buy them and they're wearing black and gold.
Donovan Mitchell's like, you know, going out there. And
yeah, and there's just little old Real Salt Lake and Sandy, like, run down stadium. It'd be rough, man. It would suck.
It would be us, yeah, exactly. So that's, you know, that's kind of why I look at LA Galaxy right now and I'm like, I feel bad for those guys. Let's see. Nashville SC, I mean, even though they're a great team sitting right below Salt Lake, and then in dead last place, it's not quite last place, but we have to point this out. 14 teams in the West, Kansas City sitting at 13 with only 12 points. And you love to see it, man. 13 matches played, 3 wins, 7 losses.
I'm really bummed one of those wins is against RSL.
Well, they just turn on the gears, right? When it's RSL, well, they just turn on the gears.
It was early in the season, kind of pre their injury disaster. Johnny Russell gets a lucky late goal. I remember talking about this game. That was absolutely a game we should have won. That was a very frustrating match that we should have won.
I was pretty vocal on Twitter and maybe unfair to Brody.
But like, let's give him credit, though. It's not like his first goal was a little tap-in. That was a banger.
No, that was a great,
That was a banger.
It was a great shot. Listen, I'm not frustrated with Andrew Brody.
You're frustrated that the defenders are scoring more than the forwards. Yeah, I get you.
Andrew Brody, great shot, dude. You're a stand-up guy. I think Andrew Brody really is like an embodiment of like what you want this club to be, right?
Yeah, did you listen to his post-match?
Yeah, I did.
Dude,
I did.
Incredible. That's
totally
like,
did.
He has the same feelings that all the fans have, right? Like it's exactly. It's a guy you want to root for.
Exactly. So when I say, you know, I said on Twitter, I said, oh, like, you enjoy watching Andrew Brody highlights, because I was being salty, because I want our attackers to be in the game. But nothing on Andrew Brody. Too often there are goals that are scored and you know that players just had no intention on going into goal. Like, they cross it in and they get lucky, it goes in. Mm-hmm. Andrew Brody, ball's rolling out to him. He knows where it's going to be placed. He literally like finesses that shot.
Yeah, and then that's the key word right there, placement, right? Like,
yeah.
How many other players just try to hit that ball as hard as they can? Yeah, you know what, dude, I mean? Brody just
that would have been a sky. Anybody else, that would have been a sky. And, you know, attackers take
notice.
Take notes, yo. Like, literally. You don't have to put, you know, I'm trying to think, like, who on the roster who is an attacker could have had that shot and would have just skied it into section five or whatever it is.
Honestly, I could honestly say every single one of them would.
Yeah.
And leading that group would be Pablo Ruiz.
Love Pablo Ruiz, such a nice
but
guy.
Man, but yeah, he can't keep shit on frame.
Dude, he would sky it for sure. Hey man, we had a big person come back on for Real Salt Lake, Julio Anderson.
Yeah.
Or Anderson Julio.
Julio,
I get it.
Anderson.
So Anderson, dude, I guess Anderson in South America is a really popular first name.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why, but Sam Farnsworth over at KSL always tells me that, like, anytime Anderson Julio's name is mentioned. But what did you think, man? First match back, coming back, was the hype a little overhyped, or what were your thoughts on watching him play again?
No, I was super pumped to see some attacking prowess able to come off the bench, right? Like, no knock on Tate Schmidt, but I'd rather have Anderson coming on to try to get a game winner than Tate. I was pretty sad that he seems to have pulled his hamstring already. That just happens when you're a fast guy. But maybe we rushed his minutes because, you know, he hasn't really been playing. So it is a bummer to see all this hype, all this, you know, fanfare, and then for him to have to come off injured. It was kind of just like a par for the course, it seems, this year. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the way it's going to go. It wasn't a fairy tale, you know, Anderson makes his return home and scores the game winner type day. But, you know, I'm glad to have him back. I'm glad to see some depth back on the bench, you know, along with him and Severino. I think definitely going to be better additions and help with the attack, but still work to do.
You just mentioned Severino. Have you heard anything on when his arrival is anticipated or, you know, when he might even be practicing with the team? I mean, hell, it could have happened already.
Yeah, no, I remember initially hearing, you know, potentially for Montreal. That feels like a long shot to me. I feel like we would have already seen, you know, pictures of him training if he was going to play this weekend. But hopeful for Houston, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to go out to a practice. I'll try to make a practice next week and do some, like, little reconnaissance work or something.
Yeah, is he here? Is he here?
Ooh, where's he? Is he here? One thing I wanted to talk about, too, is we teased Sebastian Salcedo being in Salt Lake.
You teased him.
I teased it.
You didn't even tell me about it.
So Sebastian Salcedo was in town after the CONCACAF Champions League. He was let go by Pumas. There's more to a backstory there, but I'll let Sebastian tell it if he ever comes on the show. But he was in town and he wanted to do a goodbye video. So he reached out, recruited me for a goodbye video to throw out to the fans. So we spent some time with him. A really cool dude, man. He's got some pretty amazing like RSL stories. You know, he's that he just openly like talks about. But a lot of it was just like, you know, mentorship, you know, being with Kyle Beckerman and kind of getting like good life advice, basically, from those veteran players when he had started. So it was really cool to, you know, spend some time with him, run around town. We got his video made. He shared it. I think combined platforms, when I checked on Twitter, Facebook, and IG, I think that video is, I think it's got like between 80 to 90,000 views all between three platforms. So it was cool to do that for him. And then, you know, he was here and he was talking about his Toluca contract. But I figured, hey, he's here. Like, let's just, you know, let's tease RSL a little bit, the fan base. And it was funny to see, like, a lot of your guys' reactions. Some were for it and some were, like, super against it, right? So it's a shift that I'm seeing in RSL fans where not everything is just so green pastures and, like, you know, daisies. I like seeing that fans are very opinionated and they'll let us know.
Right.
On Twitter and Instagram.
And you know, they're going to let you know that they want something. And I like that, because before, like, any player coming back, people were like, oh my God, yes, he's coming back. And now it's like, do we really want to go down that road? You know what I mean? So I enjoy that, honestly. And yeah, like, would Boho coming back be cool? Like, sure, hometown boy, whatever. But, like, we have 17 wingers on the squad. Like, it makes no sense. So that's why, I mean, that's the only reason I'd be against it, because why?
Oh, side note. He doesn't like the nickname Bofo.
Yeah, he wants to go by Sebastian, right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe you know that as public knowledge, but...
Yeah, it's out there.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. Hey, that's it. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah, he's got a story behind it, but like I said, I'll let him tell the story when he's ready. Okay. All right, speaking of the Mexican League, there's been a lot of chatter about David Ochoa possibly making a move to, you know, a Mexican club, obviously committing to the selection, they call it, Mi Selección, Mexico. It's the national team in Mexico. There's a lot of speculation from all sides saying, okay, like, is he ready to kind of, like, make his departure over to Mexico? But as of the last 24 hours, we've seen multiple, like, media outlets, sources, if you will, basically saying that he's got ties, or that you know, West Ham United or Fulham is entertaining the thought of David Ochoa going to Europe. I think for all soccer players, like, I think that's like either that's the preferred destination or like the final destination. So if those rumors hold true or carry any weight, Josh, can you see David bouncing?
Oh, dude, I think David bouncing, I think the writing has been on the wall for a while now, right? Like, do you really think his thigh injury after the first preseason, or the Portland preseason game, was that serious? Or, like, the amount of times he hasn't been at practice or missed games for quote-unquote personal reasons, right? Like, I don't think, this is going to be me sounding real speculative right now, and this is purely me, it's purely my opinion and my take on it, right? Like, this isn't anything I've heard from anybody. But I think Ochoa's had one foot out the door since last season ended. I think he's been ready to go. He's obviously turned down a rather large contract, from what I've heard, to stay with RSL, right? So it's not like the front office isn't doing their due diligence. I just think Ochoa, ooh, this is going to sound bad. I think Ochoa thinks he's better than he is at this point in his career. And my rebuttal to that would be, you can't unseat Zach McMath right now. And no offense to Zach McMath, but, like, it's not like you're behind, like, a Tim Howard or a, you know, a huge name.
Nick Raimondo?
Right. Goalkeeper. Yeah, that's the one we should have gone with.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I think he wants to go, right? I think he's been planning on leaving, and I think that's just kind of materializing. And if we don't get money for him, like, that sucks. But I don't think it's our fault in this case, right? Like, if he doesn't want to re-sign, we can't force him to re-sign. and therefore we can't sell him. So I don't know. It sucks, but you know, we have better goalkeepers from what I've heard in Gavin Beavers, Jeff Doucnip. Apparently those guys are studs, and there's even more studs behind him. So like he was a villain for a year, right? Had some fun moments, but carry on, man. Have fun. I hope he does well. Like, I hope he goes to West Ham and plays, but like, if you're not playing, like if you're not starting for Real Salt Lake right now, like, what makes you think you would start for West Ham?
Yeah, but you know, I think it really is a personal decision.
No, right? Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, it's yeah. Totally fine. Like, yeah. Go do it, please. Do you be your best you? Like, this to me feels a little different than like the Rusnak, right? Like, yeah. He hasn't been publicly stating like, "Oh, I love being the captain. I love being here." Blah blah blah, and then dipping, right? But a lot of that was because of RSL anyway. But yeah, I just fine. Go do what you want to do, Ochoa.
So, you know, I really like David Ochoa, and I see the potential in him. I think he'll be successful anywhere that he goes. And after, you know, I was thinking about this on the drive today when I was getting my coffee. It's like, if you really are a club that promotes development from within, and you know, giving these young kids opportunities, then definitely stay out of the way when they have a really big monumental shift or a change in career to go do it on the world's biggest stage.
Right. The question just becomes, how can we do it like, you know, FC Dallas does it, where we sell these guys for big money before it gets to the point where they can just walk away, right? Like, where's that line, and how did we miss it this time again? Did we give him the opportunity too late? You know, like, so there's things. But again, like, I hope he does whatever the hell he wants to do, because I'm all about that. And I hope he has success. I just hope his head I don't want this to sound rude, but I feel like Ochoa might have an ego a little bit. And I don't want him to, like, flounder by going somewhere else with an overinflated perspective of what he thinks he's going to accomplish and be let down that way, right?
Well, do you think that Ochoa is not like a European caliber goalkeeper? Or do you think that, you know, I mean, can you see him starting for any teams over there? Or is he going to have a tough time competing for that spot if he were to be pulled over?
I think he'll have a hard time competing for a spot, dude. I don't think he's a shoe-in starter anywhere, especially in the EPL. Maybe in the championship, but outside of his antics, like, he did make some big saves, but, like, did anything really stick out to you, right? Like, outside of him shushing crowds, kicking balls at people, whatever, did anything really stick out to you being like, oh, man, this guy is a keeper, right? Like, he has some good saves, sure, but, like, so is Zach McMath, right? So did Jeff Antonella when he was here. So did Matt Van Okel, for God's sake. Like, guys have saves, and you know, he's still young in his career, and he hasn't completely proven himself. So I just worry that he's going to go take the next step thinking he's going to be the guy, and have him not being the guy completely shatter his confidence, etc.
So this kind of reminds me of Matt Turner, but he accomplished some stuff in the league prior to going, you know, or kind of like making that step over into the EPL. But so if you had to compare the two, Matt Turner versus David Ochoa, who's the better goalkeeper, and do you see Arsenal starting Matt Turner?
Well, so Matt Turner, you got to remember, also had success with the national team, right? You know, helped us with qualifying, helped us win some cups, helped us beat Mexico. Ochoa hasn't started a game for the national team yet. Ochoa was on the U.S. squad that got eliminated from the Olympics during qualifying. Little different there, right? Turner's also older. He's had those opportunities. Do I see him starting for Arsenal? Maybe, right? But I also hate Arsenal, and, you know, I could see them starting anyone, really, because they're trash. But, yeah, I think it's a totally different ball game, honestly. Like, to me, Matt Turner is established goalkeeper, whereas Ochoa is still young, up-and-coming, and quickly exiting the young phase of his career, right? So,
yeah,
I mean, he's probably got 2 years left to be considered a young goalkeeper before it's like, all right, you're just a goalkeeper now.
Sure. So I think that if any of those rumors are true, there's two routes to go. You can take that huge risk and the payoff and the reward could be huge. Or you could do what the dude on the Sounders did. Oh my God, what's his name? He's like the golden boy for Seattle Sounders. What's his name?
Which
forward?
One?
The forward. Young guy. He chose to stay. He opted out of
Jordan Morris.
Jordan Morris, thank you. Blinking out this morning. Or he could be like Jordan Morris. You know this is your home. You know this is where you want to be. And have some success here. But I don't know, man. For David, it's a young, hungry kid. Dude, if you get a bigger opportunity than Real Salt Lake, I would go. Dude, it wouldn't even have to be for me. It wouldn't even have to be a club outside of MLS. I would be happy seeing David Ochoa go to a bigger club in MLS for the opportunities and the chances that he would have with a team that has like the market share and could really propel his career.
Sure. Yeah, either way, like, don't expect Ochoa around next year. Maybe not even after July. Honestly, like I don't have a high outlook to see him staying with RSL long term.
Yeah.
Even short term, honestly.
This will have to be the David Ochoa show because we've gone about 30 minutes on that. Let's go to Twitter questions. We'll wrap this one up. All right, so questions on Twitter. Garlic, we'll just mention you, man. You asked what's going on with David Ochoa, more details or opinions. We just covered that. And then also we've got what's your dream summer transfer window look like, in and out. And lastly, how about the academy? Tons of upcoming talent. I know Josh touched a little bit on upcoming talent from the academy. It's a great program. It's a stacked program. And, you know, I think all across the country, young kids are getting into soccer at a younger age. And if you've got kids who are loving soccer at a younger age and just kicking a ball at a park, and then they go to an academy where it's like structured. I mean, all these things didn't exist when we first became Real Salt Lake fans. And so I think that the payoff for that over the next few years is going to be huge. I mean, we're already kind of seeing it with the first team. And some players that are showing promise, but I'm really stoked on the academy.
I think they're only going to get better, right? The ones that start coming up and sticking around, they're only going to be better.
Yeah.
So,
what about your dream summer transfer?
Well, obviously we want Cuellar to come because I think that fills a big hole. And then, dude, any kind of, I don't even have a name because that's a hard one to throw out there and just have one off the top of your head, right? Like I would need a minute, but any kind of attacking, creative, you know, anything creative, like a Vela type guy.
Yeah.
Would just be wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Or like a Zeller Ayan, like something like that, dude. Just inject it straight in my veins, please.
All right. Hangry Hippo asks, does RSL need to go after a new 9 or find a playmaking 10?
10.
A 10? Yeah.
Followed by a 9. Like, we need both, honestly. I think upgrades all over the field would be expected.
Yeah. Also, he asks, was that Bobby's worst game at RSL? I'll take this one. Yeah, dude. I got really frustrated because I was, like, shooting from the, RSL's attacking side coming in. And there were, I want to say there were 3 direct plays with Bobby Wood where there's accountability like on his shoulders for the touches that he took that were just so frustrating, where I had the green light to stay for the whole game, but I don't know what it was. I just left at the half.
You're a grumpy guy.
Yeah. Also, should Rubin start?
I mean, if he's fit, it might be a good chance to give him the opportunity. I don't see what, like, it doesn't hurt, you know, rotate the squad a little bit, see if it works.
Eric Walker asks, what needs to change to get Wood and Cordova more chances in dangerous areas?
Playmaker. Like, simply put, or Demir back in the field to pull some center backs off him and get on the end of some Herrera crosses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt Lane, give us the Ochoa rundown. You got it, dude. Go back, rewind. Listen to the 20-minute spiel on Ochoa. Tricky Tanner asks, how would you rate the defense during the last couple games?
Solid, dude. I'd give them like an 8.5 out of 10. They've been good.
Yeah. Mostly. And a lot of the defense rating, like let's say if you just gave them a 6, like you have to add that 2.5 to make it the 8.5 because that's where a lot of the goals have been coming from.
Right. So you got to give them the attacking bonus.
Yeah, dude. It's so weird, man.
No, they did give me a little bit of stress at the end of the Austin game. They gave Austin some beautiful opportunities, but
McMath saved us.
McMath saved them, but we definitely did our best to give him those opportunities, which again fell on Tate.
Yeah, I just know the sentiment would be so much different had that match ended in a tie, like close to stoppage.
Especially being a man up, like.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like that's where my frustration comes because we barely skirted a win, 3 points, and it's just frustrating to see the club, the social media, everyone just celebrating it like it was this monumental, amazing win. Like, I get positivity, but damn, like, let's be realistic. It
absolutely took a red card for us to win that game.
Yeah, it's just, it's not, it's just not acceptable. That's my take. All right, so Jake Simpson, that's a new name. Thanks for listening to the show. Is Savarino in the States yet? Hopefully Savarino is the answer to some of these offensive struggle questions. He can't do it by himself, but hopefully he can really spark players like Wood and Cordova to their higher potential. I have a take on that, but let's hear from you, Josh.
We already went over this, hopefully by Houston. That's all I got. I don't know if he's here or when he's going to get here.
Do you think that he'll create that creative spark?
I thought you were taking that part. Sorry.
I want to hear you out on that. So,
no, I think
you think he'll be able to support Wood and Cordova, kind of bring them up.
I think he'll lift them up somewhat. I think if anything, we'll see more opportunities come directly out of Savarino, especially hopefully on a dead ball situation. You know, him taking the free kicks. That's a quality player coming in. It should absolutely raise the quality of the attack. I don't know by how much. I don't think he's the answer, per se, but it's going to help. It's got to help.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. I don't know when we flipped, role reversed here, Josh. Like, you're very positive lately, and I'm pretty salty. What I think is contributing to that is I've been around long enough to know that you can't listen to the hype. Because the hype happens, everyone's really happy. Until the product on the field matches the hype, then that's when you really kind of want to give your opinion.
Until then, it's just hype.
Like you said, Savarino could be the answer. Savarino could come back and be a total flop. We don't know. So I'm just, at this point, I don't even want to give the satisfaction of like, hey, this is a great move. No, let's see him play a few matches. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, should we do a 10-game rule on all new signings now too?
I don't know. I mean, 10 games, you know what's crazy about 10 games is it seems like it's forever away, but it does happen fairly quickly.
Real quick, yeah.
But I think that if you're a player who is healthy, arguably in form, and the team is marketing you like, hey, he's won all these championships and he's matured and he's, you know, God's gift to earth, then I think you cut that number down to 5 or 6. Start making an impact right away. I'm tired of waiting. That's it.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Okay, so Sheth says, do you see RSL's lack of attacking threat due to our midfield not connecting with our forwards to create chances? Or is it our forwards failing to put themselves in positions to be dangerous? I'll answer first. Go ahead. Okay. No, you go.
No, no. More option one.
More option one. Okay, see, yeah. I see option two.
See, but... option two, they've been in positions.
Yes.
They just aren't finishing.
Exactly.
We've gotten into plenty of positions. Plenty of dangerous positions.
Balls over the top, one-on-one situations, and then just fluffing it. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, I think it's a mixture of both, man. We've mentioned at the midfield, not connecting with forwards to create chances. I think that's a given. It's actually a really good question, really good take, Chef. All right, a swarm of killer bees, a.k.a. at Sting Yo Ass. Where are these new listeners coming from?
I don't know. But I like it.
Yeah.
I guess we need to be more consistent, huh?
Yeah. A Swarm of Killer Bees asks, does Demir make it back onto the field this year, or is back problem worse than advertised?
I think he'll be back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that guy is a machine. From what I've heard, he is a machine, man. Like, he does not slip up. He sticks to his diet. He sticks to his regiments. He is like the Terminator. Like, he's like a T2. Is it a T2 model?
Yeah, T2.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Is that the cooler one? I don't
remember.
Yeah. He's literally a dude who is so dedicated to his craft and dedicated to what he does on the field. I got a chance to speak to him at practice, and he was asked directly, like, if he was feeling better. And it looks like he was. So I would say you can count on Demir to be back quickly.
Yeah, and I think currently they're more just, like, being cautious, right? Like, let's not rush him back and really make it an issue. Let's just ease him on back into it and have him for the better half of the year.
All right, cool. So that wraps up the RSL show. Let's cover some news and rumors around the league. Messi going to Inter Miami. Does that carry any weight? What are your thoughts there, Josh? Is it fact or crap, dude?
I think it's 50-50. I think it'll happen eventually. I think this first one's a little... It feels premature, right? Like, it feels like people are just trying to, like, poke the hornet's nest and see what happens.
Yeah.
But I definitely think Messi will be a Miami player because I think Beckham will make it happen. Just David Beckham. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, and if it happened, I'm buying an Inter Miami jersey. Words I never thought I'd say, but gonna have a Messi shirt. And if RSL is not playing him at home or away, like, I will find an Inter Miami game to go to that's close.
Wow. That's pretty cool, dude.
You gotta go see Messi, dude.
You have to.
Got to.
David Beckham came to the league when it was nothing and changed MLS, I believe, into what it is today.
100%.
Right.
100%.
He was the one to make a move, arguably kind of in his prime, like towards the end. Like, not so much that it was a retirement tour. He really came here, made some differences, won some championships, and then got a lot of people into Major League Soccer. And so I think that if David Beckham were to have a conversation with Messi, it would almost be to, okay, come over here, we'll give you some stake in the company, in the club, and it's not so much about the soccer, but it's propelling this league to a whole brand new level, a whole different level. If right, we think MLS is cool now, dude, wait until Messi comes in. Yeah,
not only that, but like, now you have Messi locked in. Messi has something locked in for after his career, right? Like, not that he needs it, but it's kind of the start of, you know what, I'll take it. It's a retirement move. Don't care, it's Messi, right? Do it.
You know, we've seen Neymar pictured at a hotel in Miami, and then all the rumors go, you know, crazy. But this is the first one that I've seen where it's kind of directly correlated with Beckham, and they're in a photo together, and they're, you know, talking. So,
right.
So anyhow, the RSL show is the best Real Salt Lake podcast out there. We want to thank our sponsors, One Wire Fiber, at One Wire VoIP, Voice over IP for your business. They are huge. Real Salt Lake fans, if you have a small business or if you have an enterprise, if you guys have employees, look at it. They're CRM based. They can help you manage a database of customers, clients, click to call options. I mean, they just make it so easy. Also, we want to thank KSL Sports for hosting us on their network. We have a pretty long contract with them, don't we?
Yeah, I don't think it has an end date.
When did we? Does it?
No, it's the end date is when Nate decides he doesn't want to hear from us anymore.
Yeah, or if we decide to go the Jake route and just quit. So guys, treat us nicely because we could just quit at any moment's notice. Also, dude, I talked to Jake yesterday. We were talking and I said, hey, do you want to come back to the RSL show? And he said, no, life is great. I'm happy, not worrying about soccer. So I'm happy for him. Anyway, keep it here for all your Real Salt Lake content. We're going to be doing more shows, obviously. On the pickup soccer front, we're going to go ahead and do another one on June 18th. We will put out the details for when and where. We would do it sooner, but Josh has COVID.
Sorry.
And that's pretty much it. So be ready, be prepared. If you guys like the show, please share our stuff. Send it to your friends, your neighbors, your family, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, all that good stuff. And again, thanks for listening to the RSL show. Remember to spay and neuter your cats, and we'll see you next week.
Peace out, everybody. I keep it juicy, juicy. I eat that lunch. Yeah. She keep that booty, booty. She keep that plump. Yeah. Yeah. That natural beauty, beauty. Yeah, yeah. If you could see it from the front, we'll tell you see it from the back. Back, 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 juicy. Back, back, yeah. Back, 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 juicy. I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading Doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.